Okay. This morning we're going to be looking, now we're going back into Revelations chapter 4. Sunday a week ago I started with verse 6 through 9. And now this morning we're going to be looking at the middle part or the second part of verse 6 down through 11. The vision of God's throne. Now, if you stood in the place or sit in the place of John, and he was given that ability to look into heaven and see the miraculous vision of the throne of God, just imagine that, that he was given that privilege to see and then pass that along to us. This past week in our Bible study, we talked about revelation versus inspiration. So what John saw falls along with revelation, what God revealed to him. It wasn't inspiration until he wrote the scriptures. He was inspired to write what the revelation of God revealed to him. So, I mean, that should be very exciting to us as Christians that we know that this world, this earth, is not the end. That it's only a rite of passage through this journey, pilgrimage, as we make our way into heaven one of these days. And at least we know by the scriptures what we have to look forward to. So there are a lot of symbolisms in Revelations, but these symbolisms mean something, and we are to figure those out as much as possible and accept them by faith and realize that God has a purpose in everything that he reveals to us through Revelation, and we're inspired to get into the Word of God and be motivated to study them and know what they mean for our lives. So look with me in the middle part of verse 6, where it says, "In the center and around the throne, four living creatures." These are not beasts because they're living. So it means living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. Verse 7, the first creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf. The third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. Now you know why I like eagles, right? We all like eagles because they show strength and stability as they soar through the air. No, you soar with eagles, not fly with, what do you call them? Buzzards? But nothing like an eagle. Okay, verse 8. "And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within." And I'll explain about that in a few minutes. "And the day and the night they do not cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come.'" Now, what verse in the Old Testament reminds you of this very one? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, where Isaiah said, "Holy, holy, holy is our God Almighty." That is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Now, moving on to verse 9. "And when the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and forever, and the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before their throne, saying," and those crowns, I talked about those five, two or three weeks ago, the five crowns that you and I can receive. And verse 11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. And we know that is true. So, looking at what John is revealing to us through the inspiration of the scriptures, John is permitted, you think about that, he is permitted to look into heaven to view the throne of God and observe the future worship celebrated there. Think about it, there's celebrations going on now. And we don't understand and see exactly what's going on now, but John is revealing the celebrations each and every second of the clock that ticks in our world here. So, and it talks about a door. And that word would be tura, a door in the Greek form, or an opening made into heaven through which John is lifted up to see what is beyond what I would call our present world, the world in which we know. And he was lifted up in the spirit, and God said, come up here. I have something to show you. Now, he sees the throne of God and the magnificent glory of God who sits on the throne. And he sees the lightning flashing around the throne, and he hears the thundering rolling. And he sees the Spirit of God ablaze. Can you see that picture of what John is seeing? And the rainbow that encompasses the whole throne. Look, can you imagine the beauty of all of this? You know, the things that we see on this earth that God created and everything is beautiful, but nothing like what John is describing here. You know, I don't know, many of you watched the games this week, and I don't want to get on to the games, but St. Peter's has their mascot is what? The peacock. Isn't that a beautiful creature? I mean, magnificent how God created such a bird, an animal such as that, with such an array of different colors, perfectly designed on them. So, person don't believe in creation, something's wrong, right? The Big Bang didn't make something like that happen. So when we look at this, and looking at these scriptures, you know, we should get excited about it, because how blessed that our Lord thought so important to show us here on earth about heaven. So we should be excited about that. And see, he gave us what I would call the vision of God's throne, so that we could be filled with anticipation and be prepared for the impact of heaven's, of God's sovereignty. All-powerful, all-knowing, everything God about his character. Now, so let us look at God's living beings here in the songs of worshipers, so that we might prepare ourselves for our Lord's final victory. And that is coming sooner than we think, I do believe. The glory, worship, that is to come as well. So, and while we face the trials and tribulations and the hardships of this world, or this earth, see, God will have us to look forward to heaven. Look beyond our circumstances here and look like John into the vision and into the throne of God and see what's prepared for those who love him. As John chapter 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'll go and prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you may be also. So, isn't that exciting? God didn't leave anything out. John wrote Revelation. He wrote this as well. He was inspired because he saw the things of Jesus. He witnessed those things. So that comes from inspiration. But what God, John is sharing with us here in Revelation comes from Revelation, but he was inspired to write the revelation of God. So how dynamic that is. Okay, first of all, let's look at the four creatures that John described for us a few minutes ago. It gives us insight of what we're going to be seeing one of these days. See, we pick up the stunning vision again here in verse 6 in the middle part. We talked about the crystal sea in the first part of verse 6. But here, the throne of God will be more amazing and beautiful than anything that we can imagine here on earth. And many of you have been out west and seen the beautiful canyons and the mountains and the valleys and all of those things and the wonders, seven wonders of the world. You probably maybe have seen some of those things. But nothing can compare of the description that John has given us here. See, before John lies an expansion of crystal appearing sea, but now in the center and encircling of this verse right here, the throne was four living beings. And the Greek word for this word, living being, is zoa. Now, you may not know this, but John calls them living beings or living creatures. Not beasts, because they're living. And we get this word from living being from, and it comes from the word zoology. And all of you know what that is. The animals, the zoos that are in the zoo. But John is awestruck by the personal guardians and the attendants of the worshipers around the throne. There's angels, there's the 24 elders that he talks about here. And note all the categories of the angels. These are those that are closest to God. And I say this, and they are closer or nearer than the 24 elders, and clearly far more inspiring to John is what he is seeing here. So we can safely say that their nearness to the throne are these most important beings ever created to John. And that's what he's explained to us. Now, as verse 6 describes, these living beings are full of eyes. They're full of eyes. And the eyes which move within every portion of the being, indicating incomprehensible, amazing ability to see and to watch. These all-seeing are taking in God and everything that else there on the throne. Now, living ones are full of eyes. Now, in verse 7, describes the beings. Now, let's look at these. The first creatures are like a lion, according to verse 7, and the second creature is like a calf. The third creature is a face like a man, and the fourth creature is like a flying eagle. Now, those are the four that you see there on the screen that John is describing. So let's take a look at these four beings as John sees these. They are like the lion, the mightiest of beasts, the king of kings, rulers of animals or of nature. And you would call them like a leader of the jungle, indicates majesty and power. And then the ox or calf or the bull. It is the strongest disciplined animal, typical of faithful labor and patience. And then you have the greatest bird, the eagle, represents supreme sovereignty, supremacy. And one like a man, indicating intelligence. So those are the four creatures that John is describing here. So, the four creatures, to give you more insight on this, suggest whatever is noblest, strongest, wisest, and swiftest is animated through nature or the created order. This is a, when you think about going back to Genesis and the created order of things, you know, here is a description of how God created the world and everything that he placed in it. And these symbolizes life itself and significance of each one and the purpose and the characteristic of their nature. So God doesn't leave out anything. Everything that we need to know about life and how God created everything and how he sustains it and what we have to look forward to is right here in the scriptures. And John describes it perfectly for us to understand and behold and be excited about. So in verse 8, as we move forward, continues the descriptions of these mighty beings. And the four living beings are creatures, each one of them having six wings full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease saying. Guess what we're going to be doing too? We're going to be saying, "Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." That's what we'll be doing too, praising and worshiping God. And you're not going to get tired of doing that because of thinking about everything that God has done in our lives. He saved us. We're sound and secure in him. You know, as Ephesians chapter 1 says, you know, in the beginning, God chose us to be a part of his kingdom. And he justified us to be able to be a part of his kingdom through Jesus Christ, verse 4. And in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1, then we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, that we was adopted by him. We inherit everything that God has in store for us. So that's what we have to look forward to. And then again, John speaks of the amazing fullness of the eyes, indicating their ceaseless watchfulness and their intense intelligence. And they have supernatural entrance into discernment. That means there's no limit. There's no limit to our ability and our characteristics and knowing everything that God has prepared for us. See, their praise of God for his past, his present, and his future may indicate they can see each of these dimensions of time. That means there's no limit. God is not limited by space or time, and neither are these beings as well. And their six wings indicate more than swiftness of movement. I mean, quickness. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that when Christ comes, he will come in a twinkling of an eye. So that's the movement of these beings. They're so swift in their movement. And this may also indicate the ability to travel indimensionally. That means length, height, width, and breadth. So they have no limit on where they can go and how quick they can go. So only this ability will allow them to be in the center of the throne. In verse 6, going back to verse 6, are the space already occupied by the throne. Can you get a picture of what John is describing? Isn't it amazing, exciting that John give us the insight of what heaven is going to be like? It's exciting. It really is. So as they are in God's presence, they have no need to rest with their unceasing praise. And through our knowledge, you know, the insufficient of our little finite mind, you know, we can truly say that the amazing being surrounding the throne of the Almighty God in their praise and worship continually. Now, as we look in conclusion of this is only part one. So I'm only looking at part one today, but I'll finish out next week with the rest of the scriptures. But I would say, oh, the splendor and glory of heaven to which we have been invited to see. It's amazing. It makes you want to turn to Revelations and just read and read and read on. Things that we may not understand, but the things that we see here is magnificent. So God desires us to partake of His living presence that is like a well of living water to our taste, to our thirst. See, like light, clarity to our confusion. You know, as I have shared this amazing vision of heaven, has the eternal one of God's glory and His universal throne of power and authority for all so eternity, has that captured our attention? Has it captured our devotion as it has those around the throne? It has captured John's attention and all of those around the throne. How has it captured our attention, our devotion? It should really captivate our attention and motivate us. So, if you ever had any concerns about Revelations and the symbols and things like that, don't worry about it, if any at all, because it's all right here. And when you are giving your new bodily presence or existence in heaven, then you will see, you will be changed, and worship will be as important and exciting as it is to those four living beings and those who cast their creatures and their crowns. It's amazing. It's really amazing. Now, there was so much here this morning in these few verses, I was only able to cover the first one, the four living creatures. Next week, I want us to look at the worship of the Holy God and worthy to receive the worship, because there's so much here. I just don't want to pass it up. And I want us to understand, as John is describing to us, exactly what we'll be seeing, experiencing one of these days. So, that's the vision of God's throne. That's only a part of it. And part two would be next week for the rest of the message. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for Your revelation. And we thank You, Lord, that the men that You chose were inspired to write what You breathed, what You spoke, just as You did as You spoke the world into existence, and all the creators and the creatures and everything that they exist upon this earth. And Lord, You sustain it. And You give us a purpose and a meaning of life. There's a reason that we're here. And we're just preparing and practicing what we'll be doing forever and ever and ever one of these days. And if we don't know, we haven't read it. And if we read it, then we will know exactly what to expect, what to behold. And it'll take our minds off of the things and the hardships and the afflictions that we are going through today. It's kind of a reward of the crowns that each and every one of us will receive one of these days. And you name those as well, the five crowns. And Lord, those listening and each one of us here, if we don't know you personally, what a perfect day. What a good time to reach out and allow you to touch our heart in such a way by the power of your Holy Spirit, withdraw us closer to you. And help us, like John, to see into the throne and the one sitting on the throne, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, in a spirit that is full of glory and power. May we respond to the invitation, Lord, as you lay upon our hearts to do so. Whether it's to come forward and accept you as personal Savior or renew our relationship with you. Lord, whatever that calling is today in each one of our lives, may we be willing to step forward and take a stand for you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.